And welcome to St. Columba's on this, the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. It is very good to see you as we just make our way into our church pews. And we welcome visitors in particular who are joining with us this morning. Especially, we are delighted to welcome Dr. Howard Hastings and Mrs. Philippa Hastings, who are with us. And we have many fond memories of Sir Billy Hastings here in St. Columba's, who was a parishioner in this church of years past. And we do want to convey to you, Howard and Philippa, our prayers and our love for all of you at this difficult time, and to say thank you for being with us in a church that I know meant so much to Dad. We welcome all of us to the service, which is Holy Communion, beginning on page 201 and follows the order of service in the pew news. And during these coming weeks, the register of vestry persons is open. And if you would like to have your name on the register, do please see the church wardens over these coming weeks. I want to thank all those who worked so hard to ensure that the parish table quiz on Friday night was such a success. Bloomfield Collegiate Hall was packed to capacity. There was a fantastic atmosphere, and great to welcome parishioners and many visitors and friends who were with us on the evening. It was a wonderful evening of connecting with the community and also deepening our fellowship here in the parish. And thank you to all. We owe a huge debt of gratitude to the quizmaster, Billy McAlpine, who had terrific questions, much appreciated by us all, and the fundraising committee and the catering committee and those who worked so hard in the many practical arrangements to ensure that everything went so very smoothly. So thank you for your support. I don't yet have a final figure, but all the proceeds are for our church refurbishment fund. We observe now a few moments' silence.
The Lord be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and grant peace to all our
hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Appointed prayer of this day, let us pray. Creator God, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please sit.
Paul continues to answer questions from the Greek Christians who are troubled about whether they should eat food known to have been offered to an idol. The answer is, harm is only done if a fellow Christian is offended by what he sees you doing. Our guiding principle must be sensitivity to the feelings of others. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Mark begins Jesus' public ministry in a synagogue. When a man troubled in mind and body finds Jesus threatening, he is stilled with the word of divine authority. Everyone is amazed. The reputation of Jesus for teaching and healing becomes widespread. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." The unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The conversation was going very well in the days leading up to the most successful parish table quiz last Friday, just until we got almost to the end of the conversation. And the words said were these: "Rector, we need you in your opening announcements to make it very clear that mobile phones should not be accessible during the table quiz. Can we leave that one with you?" And the other people hastily made their way off. And I was left wondering, how am I going to find the words in a Christian organization to ask that mobile phones are not in active use, going on Google and interneting, trying to get the answers to the questions, especially where we have a love of neighbor in this church. So how was I going to get this important message across in a pastorally sensitive manner? I had many thoughts, the mentionable and the unmentionable. And then I thought, right, we just have to go for it on the night. So those of you who were there will have heard me welcome everyone, will have heard me say about the importance of welcoming visitors. I introduced our quizmaster, Billy McAlpine, who did a most superb job throughout the evening, along with his wonderful assistants. And then came the crunch, the blessed mobile phones. How was I going to get this point across? Because I was told, confidentially of course, that if anybody was seen to be using a mobile phone during the quiz, there were going to be consequences. I didn't quite like to inquire what those consequences were, but I was told they were going to be severe. So I had a moral duty, a pastor responsibility, as rector, as husband, as a father to ensure that certainly the rectory family wouldn't be in breach of the regulations, not to mention any of our parishioners or guests who joined us. And it was wonderful to see so many guests there on the evening. So I went for it. Those of you who have mobile phones, a good start, I thought. Please don't forget to turn them back on again after the evening. That said, I hastily sat down. I couldn't help but have a look around the hall at frequent intervals to see, was there anybody looking at mobile phones while questions were being asked and honesty reigned supreme? I have to put my hand up and say the only phone I saw was mine, because I was taking photographs, which will appear in next month's magazine. But it was a wonderful evening. And we all know about words. We all know about the importance of words. And if you say something the wrong way, well, what did he say? Surely not. Well, Jesus was the master of words. He used words in such a most powerful way with such great effect. And we saw that, didn't we, in the gospel reading for today. His public ministry is just starting. He's been baptized, and we know that as the reader of the gospel, but now he's getting out there, out in the public square, as we call it. And he speaks with such great authority. And while he was out and about getting started, he came across this individual with the unclean spirit. And Jesus, as is so often the case, didn't mince his words. There was work to do, make the point and move on. And that's exactly what he did. He said so very clearly, with such clarity, "Be silent and come out of him." No more had to be said. Job was done. The man was healed. And Jesus was moving on to where he had to be next. Word had gone out that Jesus was there. And what's more, he's speaking, unlike those scribes, and with such great authority. And people are wondering just what's going on. And they want to be near him. They want to be in his hearing. And they want to experience for themselves what it is Jesus is about. But Jesus was the master of the words. Now, what about us? How good are we at the words? Have you ever had that feeling, "Oh, why did I say that? Why did I press send on the email? Why did I put that on social media? Oh, no! Why did I make that phone call when I hadn't quite thought the issue through?" We've all been there, and we'll all be there again. And yet we know the great damage that can be done when a word is said in haste, and when it causes such awful offence, and then you may have defamation of character, and so on and so on. But Jesus brings us right back to basics, because he is there to offer support and to offer encouragement to all those who are around him, and to give healing when required. And Jesus gets the words right. Yes, there may be those who didn't quite like what he had to hear, what they were hearing, but Jesus gets the words right and offers support. Is it not a matter for all of us to slow the pace down just a fraction, to think what it is we need to say before we say it, and then say it, hopefully to have the sense of necessary action required, rather than, "Oh no, why did I say that? Why did I do that?" During this week, I'm sure many of you saw that most powerful of speeches by Dame Tessa Jowell in the House of Lords. I, for one, was hugely moved by not just what she said, but the way in which she said it, and such a powerful use of words in very difficult and in very hard circumstances for her. As we all know, she's suffering from a very aggressive form of cancer. And there she was amongst her peers in the House of Lords with the TV cameras rolling and making a most powerful and yet inspirational speech in such difficult circumstances that was so full of hope, not just for her as a cancer victim, but also for all other sufferers, and also to reach out to all of us in a very particular way. And she did that superbly. The careful and the correct use of words to make the point and to give a message, to offer inspiration and to offer courage and support and hope to people like her and to many others besides. That speech, I'm sure, went through many drafts, draft after draft after draft after draft, to get it to what it was we heard and read subsequently in the newspapers. And yet there she was, saying all of us have a role to play in the community, not just the doctors, not just the medical people, and all of us have a role to play in giving hope and support to those who need it. And yet, do we? Words are very powerful. They're even more powerful when they're used well and used correctly. And that is the real challenge for us in the gospel reading for today. Jesus did just that. The effect was healing and cleansing, and Jesus offered support and blessing. Now, what about us? The challenge is on. Maybe, perhaps, to reset our sense of focus in our choice of words, maybe to offer words of blessing and encouragement one to another, rather than rushing in with both feet and getting it perhaps terribly wrong and then having to expound so much energy trying to apologize and repair, if we can, the damage caused by rushing. Words. 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 Let's take time and get them right. Because as Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't leave us on our own to get on with it. And thank goodness he doesn't. He's there alongside us, but giving us the strength to get us through each situation and each circumstance. But we need to be there for him, to listen to him. Let's do it. And let's get the words right. Because to do that is to be like Jesus, and perhaps also like what Dame Tessa Jowell did in the House of Lords, speaking from the heart and offering support and hope. Such words need to be heard more frequently. Let's do it. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. We pray for people of faith throughout the world, that aspirations to godly truth may prevail, and banish the temptation in men to commit atrocities in the name of faith. We pray for the church worldwide, its unity and its message. We pray that its light may shine in all areas of darkness, that we may know the true love of Christ, and that we may be proud to confess that we are his followers. Renew the life of this, our diocese of Down and Dromore, and in the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the parishes of Kilmore and Inch, and their rector, Stephen Smith, and the whole life and work of those parishes. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and peace, and bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. We thank you for your image and likeness that is equally bestowed upon all races and people. We remember those affected by turmoils throughout the world, the often resulting displacements, and all those who are unable to live with dignity, that the hearts and minds of their oppressors may be changed through an appreciation of the value and sacredness of every life and the dignity of humanity. We pray particularly for the elected representatives of Northern Ireland as they embark upon further discussions seeking agreement to recommence our devolved assembly. We pray that your hand may guide their labours to a fruitful conclusion for the betterment of all who live and work in our province. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. We pray for our own local community. We confess our own failings and lack of compassion and love. We thank you that you forgive our failings, and we ask you to graciously give us a spirit of love and forgiveness that sees only the good in each other and bears no grudges and forgives all grievances. May we learn to forgive even as you have forgiven us, that we may live together in unity for the good of all. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need. Almighty and most merciful God, we remember before you all poor and neglected persons whom it is sometimes easy for us to forget, the homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all those who have responsibility to care for them. Help them to heal those who are broken in body or spirit, and to turn their sorrow into joy. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all your people, who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace. Greatness, the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. We're using Eucharistic prayer number 1 on page 209. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, All honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Let us pray. Generous Lord, in word and Eucharist, we have proclaimed the mystery of your love. Help us to live out our days, that we may be signs of your wonders in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ the Son, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you, now and always.
Just before our final hymn, Emma Hill, who is known to all of us here so very well in St. Columba's, is a member of a band, and the Northern Ireland Concert Band are having their annual table quiz in Stormont Pavilion on Friday next at 7:30, £5 entry per person, and all are welcome. It would be good to support Emma if our diaries permit.
Oh,
peace to love and serve the Lord.